Well, good morning.
I'm going to try that one more time. Good morning. I'm so excited to see all of you this morning. Thank you for being in worship here at West End United Methodist Church. My name is Shannon Baxter. I'm the pastor of Congregational Connection. I'm so excited to be worshiping with you today. If you're a first-time guest, thank you so much for being here. Please let us know, even if you're an old-timer, let us know that you're here today. We have pew pads in the seats for you to fill out, as well as if you're joining us online, there's a link that you can click on our website to let us know that you're here. Let us know of any needs that you have. There's a couple announcements that I've got for you today. First off, I want to make sure that you look at your bulletin and take it home with you. There's a lot of information that I won't mention in there, so please take it home. That way you can be up to date on what's going on in the life of the church. First off, I want to invite our college students, our graduates and undergraduates to Chat and Chew, which is lunch on the church's dime right after church today. I want to invite you to meet our Reverend Amy Baxter. She'll meet you in the back in the narthex at the end of the service, and then you all gather and decide where sounds good to go eat. So I want to encourage you to participate that and enjoy that time together. Our other big announcement is that next week we're celebrating our 150th birthday as a congregation. We're excited about what God has done through this church over the last 150 years, and we're looking forward to what God will continue to do on into the future. And so next week, to mark the occasion, we'll have one worship service at 10 o'clock. Prior to that, at 9 o'clock, Sunday school classes will have an opportunity to meet. That includes children and youth. We want everybody to join us at 10 o'clock for one worship service here next Sunday. Beginning at 2 o'clock, we'll have a celebration out on the West Lawn. We'll have lots of cake, so come and get some cake. And we'll keep saying cake because cake is good and everybody likes cake. So please enjoy it and come next week. We'll have a number of other opportunities. We'll have Archives and History have a number of items in Reed Hall. We'll have some missional opportunities for you to meet some of our mission partners downstairs in the gym. We'll also have a bunch of blow-up bouncy houses for the children and the youth, and opportunities just to enjoy and celebrate what God has done through West End. And then directly following that, at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we will have a hymn festival, and we'll have featuring a guest conductor, Anton Armstrong, so you won't want to miss that. So I encourage you to come and be a part of any and all of those activities. I also want to turn your attention in Reed Hall. We have a board that says, "We are thankful." We're collecting all the things that we feel that, as a congregation, we are thankful that God has done in and through West End. So I want to encourage you to go out there, put something on a post-it note, and we'll put that into something we have together for next week. But I encourage you to visit Reed Hall after the service today. We are in need of some volunteers for next week. So if you have some time, either before the 2 o'clock hour or at the end of the festivities at 4 o'clock, we'd love some help with setup or cleanup. We also could use some greeters throughout the building to help guide people and then to work the bouncy houses to make sure the kids don't jump all over themselves. In a couple of weeks, on October 21st, we will have the second piece of our Habitat for Humanity build. So if you have a portion of a day or the entire time available, I want to encourage you to be a part of helping to provide affordable housing in the Nashville community. You can sign up through the church's website, or you can reach out to Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye about that information. And then finally, we have a training coming up for those who would like to assist in making communion as well as serving communion on the Sunday mornings that we do communion. If you would like to participate in that, that'll be on Wednesday, October 18th at 6:15 p.m. here in the sanctuary. If you have questions about that, you can see your bulletin or reach out to Reverend Will McLean. As we have been walking through the Bible this year, we find ourselves in the book of 1 Corinthians today. One of the letters Paul writes to a church he helped to create in Greece. We'll see how God calls us to use the gifts that we have been given so generously by God. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
to worship found in your bulletin. Just as one body has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized in one Spirit. Let us set aside the labels the world would use to divide us. For we were all baptized in one Spirit. Let us worship the God who created us to be one body, holy and beloved. For we were all baptized in one Spirit. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. God of us all, your Son, Jesus Christ, relationship and service in you, give us eyes to see the gifts we all bring in shaping the kingdom of God. Where we have failed to see your grace at work in the lives of others, have mercy on us. For the ways we've missed that same work in ourselves, open our hearts to the possibilities. Forgive us for the times we have acted selfishly and too independently. Remind us, Lord, that we belong to one another. May we be people who appreciate the beauty of our diversity and are united as the body of Christ. May we be partners with you and each other through the power of your Holy Spirit. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. The word of God for the people of God.
Seated, and children, if you'd like to come forward for our children's sermon, and if you're watching online, invite you to come closer to the screen. Good morning.
Hello.
All right. I am so excited to see you all this morning. Are you having a good day today? I have a question for you. How many of you guys like gifts? You like presents? Those out in the crowd, how many of you guys like presents? Oh, yeah, I think that's a good, everybody loves that. Well, I have a present here. This is something that we share with people who become members at the church. And we have a few things in here. You know, we've got this really cool mug. And we've got some bumper stickers in here. And just some fun stuff for people to get to know the church. So if you're not a member of the church and you want this goodie bag, let's go through membership class together. But one of the things that's so great about gifts is we get to give them to people, right? Do you like shopping for other people and finding exactly what it is that they need? Yeah, that is so much fun. But what would happen if you were to take that gift that you got special for your mom or your dad or your uncle, and you wrapped it up all nice and pretty, but then you put it in the closet and you didn't give it to them? What would be the point, right? It'd just sit there and collect dust, right? That would be sad. And the person you were going to give it to would be sad as well. Well, one thing I want you to think about today is that gifts don't come alive until we give them away. Gifts don't come alive until we give them away. The scripture we read today talked about gifts that God gives us, things that God gives us, the talents and ways that we have to serve others. But if we don't use them, they just kind of waste away, don't they? So I want to encourage you, all the ways that God has blessed you, all the talents that God has given you, I want to encourage you to use those to bless other people so they can know God a little bit better. Can you do that? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this day, for the many gifts you give us, the talents that you endow upon us. We ask that you'd help us to turn those around and to give to others so that they can know you better. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if not, y'all go sit down with your family. For the past 9 months, we as a congregation have been working through the books of the Bible from Genesis, and we'll finish up in the Revelation right before Christmas time. And we've done this as a way to open ourselves up to new understandings of this sacred text that we may have even read 3 and 4 times over. And this is, we've done it individually as well as a community. And this work that we're doing of living together week after week in the middle of these scriptures offers us an opportunity to unify around something as we go about our busy lives. It creates space for conversation and shared experience that may be absent from the way that we typically go day in and day out. This week, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, one of Apostle Paul's letters to a church in Greece. Paul had visited the region roughly 3 years prior to this, and sent this letter to them because he has an intimate knowledge of who they are, of how they came to be, and so he has a vested interest in how they do church. The unity that we hope to create by traveling the scriptures together over the course of this past year is something that Paul is hoping for this particular church. We get a sense very early on in the letter that something is not quite right. And Paul takes them to task for the things that they have done that seem to separate them. At the very beginning of the book, in verse 2 of chapter 1, we see Paul connecting them to the believers outside their own city, setting the stage for a conversation around being more than mere individuals, about being more than one geographically defined group. In the theological world, a church is defined as a contextual body, one that is made up of people in a particular place at a particular time gathered together in common belief. The Corinthian church is one that has a particular flavor based on the community that it finds itself in. It's made up of a city that has a wide socioeconomic gaps with lots of money to be made through the trade routes that work their way around the waters around the city. The city's home to a variety of religions that trade has brought, and thus is replete with temples to a vast number of deities. Throughout the book, you'll find references to food, sacrifice, to idols, and asking the question, how do we live faithfully in the midst of things that seem so antithetical to our faith? And it's this city with fractured lines of haves and have-nots and varieties of belief that the church occupies. And some of those same personalities that are outside the walls of that church are brought in as the people walk through the doors of those houses that they meet in. They're not left at the door, but the influence has become deeply seated in each person, ultimately creating a need for admonishment toward unity within the church. When discussing the importance of coming to the communion table, Paul gets on to the wealthier members of this congregation for partaking in their own dinner and for not sharing it with those who are less affluent, ultimately before they gather to commune around the Lord's table. The drawing of lines within the gathering of the church flies in the face of what the church is called to be about. So when we get to the text that we read today, the foundation has been laid for a conversation around what each of us brings to that table and how we are to use our gifts. The body imagery Paul uses is one that any one of us can identify with, as it's not hard to imagine, no matter our ability level, what it would be like not to have certain parts of our bodies or certain abilities. So Paul seeks to touch on that understanding by equating the gathered community as a body. In order for it to be fully functional, it requires all the parts and pieces to work together. No one piece is more important than the other, and no one task is any more important than the other. And it's here that we recognize some of what Paul has been saying throughout the book. He has spoken about the need for unity, for an end to jealousy and quarreling, and a recognition of where the gifts that we are all given come from. They come from the Holy Spirit. All to help us understand that the gifts given are not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the church. Our gifts aren't there to help us. They're there to help others. In chapter 14 of verse 26, he goes on to say, "Let all things be done for building up." Church community is about mutual support. It's not so much about what we need, but what others need, regardless of who they are. One of my favorite TV shows of all time is a sports-related comedy, Ted Lasso. The show is about what a middle-aged Midwestern American football coach brings to an English professional soccer team as their head coach. Through quippy one-liners that will leave you in stitches and heartwarming interactions that illustrate everyone's need for community and positive self-talk, the show offers a commentary that leaves you both challenged and encouraged at the same time. By the end of the show, a book is written about what has gone on with this team, and the author wants to call it the Ted Lasso Way. But before the show ends, the title character leaves a note for the author encouraging him to change the title to the Richmond Way, given for the name of the city that the team resides in. He says, "It's never been about me. It never has." Though Ted was the title character of the show, he wanted to make it aware to the world that everything that helped to create such a great team was not because of any one person's influence, but by the power community has to change lives. Over the last month, Will has led us on Wednesday nights through a discussion of the art of belonging. Each week as we talked together, we understood a little bit more about how a sense of belonging is important to each one of us, and that each of us has a part to play in other people's sense of belonging. And that's a key thing for each of us to remember. Everyone is searching for belonging. What better way for us to belong than by cultivating a culture of belonging for others? Again, our gifts are for the benefit of others. This is where the lesson of humility that comes out in Ted Lasso that I think is so important. Our call is to be about the needs of others, to use the gifts God has blessed us with to ensure others have a place of belonging. But we need also to be vulnerable and humble enough to acknowledge that we are seeking that same belonging. and need to share our burdens. It's a middle ground of trust. Trust that I can be who God made me to be and who God calls me to be in this place, while also allowing the gathered community to care for my needs. Being fed and doing the feeding are not mutually exclusive. It's imperative for the health of the body that we ensure both are happening. So that comes with a need for an understanding of who we are and an exploration of how we fit into the community. It also comes with an understanding of who we are as a gathered community. The title for my sermon, The Importance of Being We, was meant to have multiple meanings, or as English nerds might call it, a double entendre. It's important for us to understand who we are individually, both for a sense of self-awareness, self-actuality, and self-love. It's important to understand that we were created to be a we. We were created for community. Whether you think about it anthropologically, psychologically, or theologically, we are individually stronger when we are connected to the lives of others. And then in our sermon title, if you capitalize we, it's short for West End. It's important that this gathered body be who we are, who God has called us to be. The body of Christ extends beyond this congregation, so the giftings of a group can also be referenced when we look at Paul's body imagery. Each church is contextual, will have its own personality, its own giftings, its own callings, and there is a need to identify those things and how that fits into the wider community, the wider body of Christ. West End is a United Methodist church. So we are connected in some very vital ways to other like-minded churches, and we support the work of those churches all around the world in a way that harkens back to our scripture today. The body needs us all in order to meet the needs of a creatively diverse world. No one part is more important than the other. No one part is more right than the other. The Nicene Creed, which is one of the more ancient statements of our faith and can be found in your Methodist hymnals in front of you, states a belief in one universal church. If we and others take Paul's words to heart, that our gifts are for the benefit of all, for our flourishing, for the growth into the likeness of God, then we can truly be the one church that we are striving to be. So the invitation in our scripture today is to do some personal and communal searching. Who am I? And how has God uniquely gifted me to build up my church community? How am I called to use those gifts for the benefit of others, for the benefit of the person sitting next to me, or across the aisle from me, or in a different worship service than me, in another Sunday school class, or small group, or service opportunity, or fill in the blank? Church leadership is in the season of discerning who will lead us this next coming year. How do you fit into that conversation? How is God stirring the passion in your heart through the ministries of this church? And then who are we? Who is West End? Who are we as a gathered community, and how is God calling us to be a light to our city and to our world? In the words of author, theologian, and pastor Jason Biasi, the church is never for us. It's for our neighbors, especially our neighbors who don't like us. How do we realign our gifts so they're not about sustaining and growing us, but they're for our neediest neighbors? The inspiration for the sermon title comes from a play written by Oscar Wilde called The Importance of Being Earnest. It's a comedy about what happens when two individuals pretend to be someone named Ernest in order to get out of social obligations and also to win the hearts of two women. In the end, they realize that their pretense is more real to who they are than they thought. May we as individuals recognize the importance of being who we are, of being who God has created us to be, and who we have been called to be in this gathered community for the benefit of others. Amen.
response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I invite you to stand as together we proclaim and profess our hope by sharing together the United Church of the Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada found in your bulletin or in your hymnal on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to be seated. One of the ways that God is forming our hearts to be that community we heard Reverend Shannon call us to be this day is through the practice of praying with and for each other. If you're worshiping with us online, you can contact us on the Contact Us link on our website and share your prayer concerns with our pastoral team. For those of us in the sanctuary, in the pew in front of you, you'll see a gray card that you can fill out and drop in the offering basket at the appropriate time that we might journey with you in sharing both the joys and burdens of life. Our rose on the altar is calling us to celebrate the birth of Wheeler William Gunter Gray, who was born on September 21st in Aspen, Colorado, to Raleigh Ann Blank Gray and John Gray. He is welcomed also by his big brother, Edward Wiley Gray, and grandmother, Peaches Gunter Blank. Even as we celebrate this wondrous birth in our communion, we recognize the transition from this life to life eternal with God of one of our own members. Ralph Cadenhead passed away this Friday morning on October 6th. We're praying with Ralph's family and his friends and our own community as we mourn his loss. Memorial plans will be forthcoming, and we invite you to join in that celebration of life at the appropriate time. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the giver of every good and every perfect gift. You delight in sharing with us the fullness of your life and your love in the giving of your Son, Jesus, and that fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. You've trusted us with gifts and given us an abundance of resources and brilliant talents and creative skills that allow us to experience the delight of co-creating with you. In your grace, O God, we ask that your Spirit lead us to more fully discover the unique gifts you've gifted to us as disciples and as your community, West End United Methodist Church. Would you open our eyes to see the ways our gifts might be of service to you and to our neighbors? Would you help us to hear when your fresh voice summons us to co-labor with you in ministry and to sacrifice for the common good? Would you bind us together in your Spirit that we would know the power and the promise of living as Christ's body, the church? And in our own discoveries of grace, would you form in us the kind of community that helps our city discover its gifts, its call, and its invitation to ministry with you? Lead us to encourage the crestfallen and those who fail to see and know their brilliance. Gift us with the humility and the clarity to name with the use of our gifts and resources, unravel the binds of community, or further impoverish the poor in our midst. Inspire us to dream with you, and to stir up in our city a renewed imagination for justice, mercy, and the joy of beloved community. All this we ask, O God, as we claim the gift of being named as your children And so pray with confidence the prayer your son Jesus is teaching us, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." It's my great joy this morning to invite the chair of our finance committee, J.L. Nabe, to share with us an invitation into ministry.
I've had a lot of fun chairing the finance committee this year.
Hallelujah.
That's right. It has been a great fun time. I serve with a wonderful group of people who have spent the last several months talking about how we can be the stewards of our church's finances that God wants us to be. Our belief is that we should collect all we can, save what we need, and spend the rest for the glory of God. If you were at the town hall meeting last Sunday or happened to watch it online, you heard me talk about the 12% increase in pledge giving in 2023. Now, while some of that increase went to cover increased expenses, it allowed us to dream bigger. Tuition for Vacation Bible School was reduced from $35 to $10, making it more financially accessible. We just completed an all-church retreat, and next Sunday we will be celebrating with a full day of worship and festivities our 150th birthday. Over the past 2 months, the clergy and staff have been dreaming about what we can do in 2024. Some of those dreams are to cover the lost funding of the Wesleyan Foundation, which supports campus ministries, send our Sunny Day Club leaders to a conference about dementia care, create new opportunities for our children to participate in hands-on ministries, and provide financial aid to help more people participate in mission trips. Nearly 75% of the church's income is from pledge giving, so it's an essential part of our budgeting process each year. But making an estimate of giving is more than simply filling out a pledge card. It should be, first and foremost, an important spiritual exercise that allows each one of us to reflect on the gifts God has given us and show our thanks for those gifts by giving back to Christ's church. If you think you're not in a financial position to make an estimate of giving, know that this exercise can be meaningful for everyone. It's the process of prayer and collective commitment when you make an estimate of giving that is most important, not the amount. If you're a member of West End, you'll receive your estimate of giving packet in the mail in the coming weeks. If you've never turned in an estimate of giving, I encourage you to make this the year that you start a new spiritual tradition. If you've not made an estimate in a while, I hope this will be the year to be a time of recommitment. And if you do make an estimate each year, talk to others about why you do and what it means to you as an act of faith. For example, my spouse and I make an estimate each year because doing so helps us feel more connected to the collective work of the church. Giving Sunday is November 12, when we'll have the opportunity to make a collective commitment for the following year. For now, let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen, and for those in the sanctuary, we'll be passing offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
hear this benediction. None of you are here by accident. God has called you into this place, and God has created you for a special task and purpose for this community and for the entire world. As you go out these doors today, take time to consider that. Consider how God is calling you to serve. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.